All right. Well, that was our student ministry's trip to Puerto Rico this last couple weeks ago now. And I'm thankful this morning. Welcome to Student Sunday, a chance that we get to share a little bit about this trip. My name is Ken. I am the youth pastor here at Stony, and it's just a pleasure and honor to be with you guys. So we'll show a picture of our group in Puerto Rico here. This is the group that we took, 26 of us that all went. We're going to hear their stories. A couple of them are going to share some testimonies here in a little bit. I did want to tell you guys, just kind of like aside from the fact of being in Puerto Rico, last week I got a chance to speak at Lake Ann Camp for their junior camp, and there was about 100 campers there from all over the state of Michigan. And I got word that at least 15 of the kids put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ this last week. So that's amazing celebration. It's just, it's always a joy to share that kind of stuff with the church, right? Because we celebrate new life in Christ. And so, but back to this Puerto Rico mission trip. Today, I want to share with you a little bit about it. I want to give you kind of a picture of what this trip was like and what we did. And we'll hear some of the stories, as I said, from some of our students and leaders in just a few minutes. We will also look into the scripture and learn something today. So if you're like, I didn't go to Puerto Rico, which most of you didn't, that's okay. I pray that you'll still learn from the Lord this morning and his word. So on this trip, I want to paint a picture of the whole trip. First, last year about this time, I was feeling the Lord leading that the student ministry could take on a trip, and I felt specifically that we were led to go to Puerto Rico. I wasn't sure why. I wasn't sure, what was leading that exactly, but I began researching what it would look like to do a mission trip to Puerto Rico, and we decided to jump in with this organization called Praying Pelicans Missions, and they helped organize a lot of the trip for us. But we began, we got students to sign up in the fall of last year, and then we began meeting monthly to talk about what it would take to go on a mission trip like this. And those meetings were, we discussed finances, how to pay for it. We discussed how to pack, how to, plan for travel stuff. We discussed, most importantly, how to be a missionary in a place that really felt like a foreign land. Puerto Rico is an American territory, so you don't need a passport to travel there, but it sure does feel like it's out of our normal comfort zones. And honestly, there's a language barrier. Most everybody there speaks Spanish, and most people can figure out English and speak a little bit of English, but everybody speaks Spanish, and so we didn't speak Spanish going there. So how are we going to do this trip with not even knowing the language? The organization Praying Pelican, they were a great help to us, but a little bit of the picture of Puerto Rico. When we landed, we soon discovered that it was hot in Puerto Rico. It was over 90 degrees actual temperature, and the real feel was even higher than that with the heat, the humidity that was just constant, and I would even say oppressive every moment of the day. There was no escape from it. It was that all night long, too. It felt like that. And even so, I never once heard any of the students complain. And we talked about it. We said, how can we stay cool? But no one ever complained and said, this trip was a waste because it's so hot. Everybody was bought in and said, let's still serve the Lord. Our 26 people here that we took were split into two teams of 13. And we split up our adult leaders to the different teams. I led one of the teams of 13. Dan Murphy led one of the teams of 13. And we had a couple other adult leaders with those groups too. And when we first landed, we didn't really know what we were going to do with these churches, right? We knew that we were going to do some work projects, that they had a couple of things that they sent us ahead of time. We weren't really fully sure what to expect. And when we got there, we're in Puerto Rico, and in fact, it was just after this picture was taken, we found out that one of the churches tomorrow morning expected our group to lead the complete worship service at their church, which included the music and the like structuring the service and the sermon. And so this is like finding this out with like 12 hours to go, and most of those hours you're supposed to be sleeping. And so I immediately started to panic and thinking, how can I take over and fix this? Because I don't want to leave the team that was the team I wasn't with. How are we going to help them out? I can preach a message. I've got, you know, some material here. And Dan, big shout out to Dan. He said, no, Ken, I got this. I feel like the Lord's pressing on my heart to share something. And he prepared a message and shared a message that morning. So a big shout out to Dan. Thank you for leading that. You know, we also had our students share testimonies at that church, and they led worship. We got to enjoy some of these students here on stage this morning leading in worship, and they do a phenomenal job, and so I'm so proud of our students. But for the rest of the week, the remainder of the week, there's a lot of stories that we're going to share. I'm going to have some of the students and leaders share a few of those stories. So the first testimony, I'd like to invite up Lauren Franz, and she's going to share a little bit about the trip and what the Lord spoke to her. So where's Lauren at? Here she comes. Let's welcome up Lauren Franz.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lauren Franz, as Ken said. I'm going into my junior year of high school, and I was blessed to be able to go to Puerto Rico this year. So a part of being a Christian is learning that it is not about our comfort. We are called to leave our comfort zone, and the Lord taught me that throughout the week in Puerto Rico. Through the heat and the language barrier, the different culture, and having to be flexible the entire time, it wasn't easy to adjust to, but the Lord doesn't tell us to have the right attitude on our own. He actually tells us we can't do it on our own, and He provides all the strength we need if we just ask for it. Without the strength He did provide on the trip, it would have been much harder than it was. This was my third mission trip, and something that I learned is that each one is truly different. The Lord has taught me so much on each one, but this one was especially to humble myself before Him, following His example on how He humbled Himself and came down to earth. On Monday, we went to the church we were serving at to start our work week. I was ready to jump right into work projects physically, but instead of having us get right to work like I had planned for and was ready for, Pastora, the pastor of the church, had us put aside some time and slow down to do a time of worship and a devotional before working. We weren't prepared for this, but we did it out of respect to her wishes. Throughout the week, she had us do this every single day. And I'm truly so thankful she did, because it changed my attitude completely on serving. I came in ready to do the projects and be put to work, but by doing these devotionals and worship every morning, it helps me remember why I was here and the blessing it was to be able to. What I learned is that a part of serving is to physically work, but the biggest part of it is that it was all for the glory of God, and we were glorifying Him by simply doing what the pastor asked of us and slowing down each morning and putting aside time we could have worked to read His word and worship Him. This also allowed me to be in the right headspace before serving. Instead of just doing it to check it off a checklist and get it done, it helped me remember the blessings that I have. I was blessed to be able to physically work. I was blessed to be able to go to Puerto Rico in general. I was blessed to serve alongside an amazing youth group. I was blessed because of the example Jesus left for us to have. He didn't just tell us to do things. He led the way by living out exactly what He said to do and being an example to us. So a verse that sums up everything that I learned and what I just talked about was Mark 10:45, which says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome. I'm so grateful to have students share on how this trip impacted them. And a lot of what Lauren said here is some of the stuff that we're going to dive into in just a moment. But before we do that, I also want to introduce Amy Warfield. She was one of our adult leaders that went on the trip, just to share a little bit from her insight on the trip here as well. So here's Amy.
Good morning, good morning. I was blessed along with Kristen Franz to be one of the moms on the trip, right? We got to have some moms on a trip. The theme for me of this trip coming away was some gratitude. I'm so thankful to be able to be there and to see what God was doing. First, we felt your prayers and your support and God's protection every moment. The oppressive heat, right? Like sleeping in it all night long with no air. Like nobody was sick. Nobody got heat stroke. Nobody got a sunburn. Did people get lots and lots of bites? Unbelievably, yes. But did anybody get sick? No. Did anybody complain about their bites or their itches? Nope. I drove in Puerto Rico and survived. I can take that off my bucket list, right? Like, no more. We made it home, as I'm sure Ken is going to talk about, like on the global outage day, right? All the other ones were canceled. We got home. Like, the prayers and the support here, we felt them. God protected us in every moment, in every way, because he knew we had great work to do. But the greatest thing that I'm thankful for is to see how God was working in these kids and watch them step out in spiritual leadership. The work and the prayers and the support that you have poured into these kids did not come back void. Unbelievably, these kids, we see them, they're goofy and we love them and they're running around and you see them here, but they have a heart for the Lord and they love the Lord and they want to serve in worship and in truth. And this is what they did. Did they clean? Did they paint? Yes. But they did each of these things in worship and in prayer, and that spirit was there with them. You saw them worshiping and being, they were broken in worship. The Holy Spirit was there. The presence was there in every moment, in everything that they did. And to be able to watch that is such a gift, right? To see that and to see it play out. I want you to know that this generation doing great things. I can't wait to see what more they will do. And just to give you a little picture, where I was with Dan, right? And those kids led that service, and Dan ran it, and they gave testimonies they had never given before. They spoke. They prayed over the leadership of that church and anointing them with oil. Like, unbelievable. Our kids prepared devotionals for one another. They were up early in the morning and in the Word before we went out and worked in the heat, after they'd slept in the heat all night, right? They brought worship and service to each place that they went. On the day that we left, we prayed with Pastor at our church again, and she said, and just so you know, like, they feed the kids at the University of Puerto Rico. Thousands of kids they feed in this building, and she is in her 60s, I believe, right? 60s, and the church was small. Full of people in their 60s and 70s feeding the University of Puerto Rico students and housing them and doing all kinds of service. And she said to us, we are physically and emotionally and spiritually exhausted, but you all being here and praying with us and anointing us and working with us is like Aaron holding up Moses' hands for us. And that peace, to be able to see that, I want you to know what has happened and what is happening there. And I'm so thankful that I was able to be a part of it and to see God working. And I'm just excited to see what God is going to continue to do with these kids. And I ask you to pray that you continue to pray and pour into them so that they can go out and still do more. I just can't wait to see what they're going to do. God's going to move mountains. Thank you so much again.
Thanks, Amy. That was wonderful. And I want to tell you what a huge blessing it was to have Amy and Kristen Franz on the trip. It was so blessed, as she said, to have a couple of moms on the trip. I'm, as a dad, I forget things and I don't think of all of the little things. And they definitely brought their mom energy to the trip. That was well needed and well fitting for what we needed. So thankful for them. And they also helped connect us to the overall missions team here at the church. They poured into us. The missions team from our church here throughout those monthly meetings would pour into our students. And so it was really great just to see the blessings of this church surrounding our students. You know, as Amy mentioned before, beyond just serving, I shouldn't say just serving, but beyond serving throughout the day, our painting, our cleaning efforts, our students spent time in God's Word, daily morning quiet times and evening devotional times together, worshiping together, as you saw in the video there. And during our time together, a verse that came up multiple times with students would bring up was Philippians 4, and specifically Philippians 4:13. Let me see if I have that verse on the screen here. You probably are familiar with this verse here. It says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." You know, this verse is commonly used and posted on social media. I'm sure you've heard it before. Even if you don't follow Christ, you have probably seen this verse used on a t-shirt and a coffee mug, you know, to encourage mom before the kids wake up, give me coffee or strength, you know, whatever. Or you know, football players will paint it on their eye black and they're like, you know, before I go out and kick the field goal, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Or, you know, I haven't seen it yet used in the Olympics necessarily here. But almost every time this verse is used in those contexts, it's out of its original context. And I would even say perhaps used inappropriately. Now trust me, because I have Christ, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm not going to win the Super Bowl ever. I'm not going to defeat Simone Biles in the floor exercises, even though I think you probably want to see me try here, right? I can't do everything, even though I have Christ. What this verse and what like Lauren was even sharing earlier was that the strength of the Lord is given to us not to kick a field goal or to do just a mundane task, but the strength of the Lord is given to us. And in this context that we're going to look at in Philippians, we'll see how it goes much beyond my own ability to overcome and to do things. You know, what was great was that the students mentioned this verse multiple times in our discussions, and every time I didn't say anything, the students were sharing about how this verse is normally used out of context, and this isn't what this verse is about, and this is how this verse spoke to me instead, and understanding the real context of it. What a blessing it is that our youth understand how to dig into the Bible and really, really grasp its true meaning and not just its social media post meaning, right? So with that said, I want to share with you a little bit about the context of this verse and how we can really grab something from it today. You know, the letter of Philippians in the Bible, it was written by the Apostle Paul while he was on house arrest. And in fact, we read about this time that he wrote this book in the book of Acts, chapter 28. You can just jot that down on your program if you're ever interested in just like reading the story about him writing this letter. But in that moment, Paul was pretty familiar with being arrested for preaching about Jesus. In fact, this was his third time being arrested. His first time he was arrested while he was actually planting this church in Philippi. We read this in Acts chapter 16, that Paul was sharing the gospel on the streets, and a demon-possessed girl came up, and he cast out the demon. You'd think that was amazing, and people would love it, except that hurt their economy, because this demon-possessed girl was being used as a slave. And so the people got mad at Paul for doing this amazing miracle, and they arrested him. And they didn't just, you know, say, oh, we're going to take you to trial. They just took him straight to the dungeon, shackled up his feet to the ground with his ministry partner, Silas. And what did Paul do in that moment in Acts 16? We can read the story is that he actually spent the nights praising God and in prayer. And through that, through the joy of the Lord being in him, the earth shook, the shackles broke. He was, and ended up being freed from this. And so Paul, he knows what it is to be arrested and in chains. Now, after planting that church, years later, Paul is in prison again, or as I said, house arrest. Maybe a little bit more cushy than being shackled to the floor, but still, it's house arrest. It's not a great time. And the people of Philippi, from that church that he planted way back, sent him a gift. We don't know exactly what the gift was, probably a financial offering. And he writes them back this letter, the book of Philippians, the letter of the Philippians, to give them encouragement and to be thankful for their generous support. In fact, this is how he starts this ending to the letter. It starts in verse 10. We'll open up the rest of the scripture. When we get to these yellow print here, I'd love you to read this along with me. It says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have." Help me out. "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty." We see here in verse 12 how Paul states he's discovered the secret. You know, if you have your Bible, you might want to underline or highlight that word secret. It's like, he's like, "Hey guys, I got something I want to share with you, a secret. The secret of living in every situation." He says what he knows what it's like to have almost nothing or with everything. We forget the time that Paul actually had what I would say a lot. In fact, Paul's backstory. Before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, Paul, who was called Saul in the scripture at that point, was a wealthy, educated Pharisee. He had power, status, and at least enough wealth to put him on the higher tier of the social status. Yet through surrendering his life to Christ, he gave up on his earthly comforts and riches to focus on what is more important: spreading the gospel of Jesus. This is how he says, "I found the secret." Now, before I get there, let me ask you, has anybody ever told you maybe the phrase, you know, just buck up and deal with it? I know as a dad, like, that's my spiritual gift. I don't have the spiritual gift of mercy. I have the spiritual gift of saying, just deal with it. I have two boys. One of them is at home sick. No, because I'm like, you know, just figure it out. Get over it. But, you know, or rub some dirt on it. You know, get better. And that's why it was good to have moms on the trip, because that's all I would have been with the kids. But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? To learn to, like, get over our hurts and the things that we struggle with. You know, in this time of extreme heat that we faced in Puerto Rico, it would have been very easy for me to coach our team and say, you know, just deal with it. We just have to deal with it. But I didn't have to say that, because they literally all knew what it was that they were just working on. I want you to catch this, is that when we say that, when we say, just deal with it, or you got to figure this out, or just be happy, what we're doing is we're turning the strength to me. It becomes my task to learn how to have strength in my weakness, to overcome. But what Paul is saying in verse 13, he says, "I can do everything through Christ who gives us strength." It's Jesus' job to pull us through. It's him where we can draw our strength in our weakest times. Not in sports or you know, on a test. This is in our darkest times. Our strength comes from Jesus alone. You can write this down in your outline. This is one of the secrets of satisfaction. Here it is: to seek contentment. Seek contentment. Discover that sense of contentment. We'll unpack this in just a moment. I want you to understand, this is not about just strengthening your mind or just overcoming difficult days. It's about truly leaning on Jesus. This is where I want to invite up Michael Fielden. He's making his way around here to come up and share one of his testimonies. He probably could share a lot. I asked him just to share a little bit of a story of what happened with him on this trip. So, as we welcome up, here's Michael Fielden.
Okay, I need to read from this or else I'm going to go on a tangent. My name is Michael Fielden. I'm one of the students who went on the Puerto Rico trip. First of all, I want to thank this church for all the support, whether it was financial or through prayer. Just you helped make this possible, and I'm very thankful for that. And God was truly moving throughout this trip. And there was three distinct times where I felt it the most, but due to time, I could only share one, or else I'd be talking a lot more. But I'm going to share the one that I think had the most impact on me. And you could always ask me some other time if you want to know the other ones. But so on Tuesday, we went to what we called the Valley Church. It was one of the churches, one of the teams was helping out. We went there for a prayer service. We didn't really know what to expect, but we knew that we would open the service with a few songs of worship. And after we finished, their praise team came up and led a few songs. Well, one of the songs they led was "How Great Is Our God." They sung it mostly in Spanish, but because it was a familiar song, we were able to sing it in English while the rest of the church sung in Spanish. This led to a powerful moment that displayed the unity of Christ in the church. And it shows that we could be separated geographically and culturally, but we could still worship and praise the same God. And there's truly nothing that could unite like Christ can. After some more worship and prayer, the pastor of the church opened up the mic to anyone who wanted to share a testimony. Now, we had planned on me sharing my testimony earlier in the trip at the other church, but we weren't able to. So I felt like God was calling me to at this moment. So I got up, walked to the mic, and introduced myself and began to share. I started my testimony describing the anxiety disorder that I developed while I was young. The disorder is called PANDAS, which is an acronym for, I'm not going to be good at this pronunciation, Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychological Disorders Associated with strep infections. Well, I didn't tell them the name of this. I do believe I did explain to them that, as I am to you right now, that it's chemical imbalance, physical imbalance in the brain. I told them how God delivered me from this disorder, and it's just amazing. There are still occurrences and times where it'll act up and the devil tries to get a hold on me. I shared one of these examples that had actually happened Monday night. At around 3 or 4 a.m., I woke up that night. But strangely, I felt cold. We didn't have air conditioning where we were sleeping, as you've probably heard. And it's in the middle of Puerto Rico summer. So I was very confused and couldn't find a reasonable explanation. I eventually drew the conclusion that I might have a fever because fevers make you cold, or at least feel cold. So I began to panic and shiver and thought I might have caught the dengue fever, which we knew it was possible. Thankfully, from experience, I know that my anxiety disorder could trick my body into feeling symptoms that are not real. So I almost always take how I feel physically with a grain of salt. I realized I was likely under spiritual attack, so I woke up Dan Murphy, and we prayed. And while we were praying, I stopped shaking, and I felt my fear fade away. We spent some time after that talking and meditating on scripture. I felt so much peace and joy as I knew God had delivered me yet again. I believe that the devil was trying to take a hold of me so I wouldn't be able to help expand God's kingdom for the rest of the trip. Thankfully, we have a powerful ally that crushes our enemies and foils his plans. I finished telling the story, and I wasn't really sure how to end the testimony. But then I said, God has delivered me from so much. While saying that, something very unexpected happened. I started getting emotional, which caused my voice to break a little mid-sentence. I started to realize how true that statement I just said was. There are so many things that I would very likely not have been able to do if you hadn't delivered me from my anxiety disorder. I wouldn't have so many friends. I wouldn't be where I am in my education. I wouldn't have gone on any of the mission trips before this. And I wouldn't even be talking up here right now. And after this, I'm pretty sure I just said praise God and then handed off the mic. And I was emotional about this for a while, as the weight of my realization was truly hitting me. We had some more time of worship. It was very powerful and moving because of the experience I just had, and it was just amazing. As I mentioned earlier, there were other times in the trip God touched me, but I think this is the one that impacted me the most. Because through it, he revealed that Jesus is the only reason I am where I am today. He's blessed me in so many ways, and I'm sure that he's blessed you all in countless ways as well. So make sure you don't take it for granted, as we often do. I think sometimes we just need to meditate on this and praise him for it, because any good that happens to us is a gracious blessing from him. Simply living and breathing is a gift, because since the first sin of humanity, we've deserved eternal separation from all that is good. Thankfully, he offers the greatest gift, to choose to accept his salvation through the sacrifice that he made for us. We don't deserve it whatsoever, and we couldn't ever earn it. But that is why it is a gift. And as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and it is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast." And I thank you all again, and glory to God.
Amen. Michael's preaching here, sharing the gospel. I love it, to understand Christ and his salvation. You know, what a blessing it is. True example, Michael, of drawing strength from the Lord, even in dark and difficult times. I want to continue this passage. We got a couple more stories to share. And briefly, I just want to go through the rest of this passage here in Philippians 4. We're going to look at verse 15. Starting in verse 15, Paul continues on. He says, "As you know, you Philippians, were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news, and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, help me out. I want you to receive a reward for your kindness." Now, I wonder how often this passage in Philippians gets preached on, because it seems like a very personal conclusion to his letter. Usually we stick in the verses a little bit higher than this. But I do think we can learn from the principle here of what he's saying. Another secret to satisfaction is this: to seek generosity. Seek generosity. Here, Paul is thanking them for the support that they gave. You know, one of the ways to be satisfied in life is to have a heart that is generous, right? You know, one of the paradoxes of life is that we feel like I feel like to be satisfied, I just need a little bit more, right? A little bit more food was going to help me be satisfied, or a little bit more money is going to help me meet my needs, or a little bit more vacation time is going to help me relax more, or a little better economy is going to help my 401k instead of tanking right now, right? No, but this lie of a little more will never lead to satisfaction. Instead, it's our generosity that promotes true joy and contentment in life. Giving to others is not supposed to be the last thing we do when we have a little more. It should always be the first thing we do out of the overflow of our heart for Jesus. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, this isn't a message about tithing or anything, but I do want to share with you some of the generosity of the church and our fellow brothers and sisters on this week. You know, we don't usually always report like the total numbers and stuff, but we did for fundraisers an envelope fundraiser, a cake auction, a mom-to-mom sale, and then many students wrote personal letters to family, friends, and those maybe outside of the church here. And all of the money raised in all of that equaled $18,600+. That's a lot of money. You know, and the cost of this trip per person before fundraisers and just like the actual cost was $1,883. That's a lot of money for these students to pay. Yet most of them, many of them, I should say, paid the initial deposit of $280, and then the rest was ended up covered by these fundraisers. That is amazing, generous support. And you guys as a church and brothers and sisters that help that, that is just an amazing testament to seeking generosity. Now, there's other ways to be generous, not just with our finances. It could be with our time. It could be with our effort to help somebody out. It could be with our encouragement. Be generous with your encouragement to other people. To share a little bit about this, I want to invite up one of our adult leaders, Maria Chestnut. She's going to share a little bit of her testimony from this week.
Hi, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Maria Chestnut. I'm one of the youth leaders every Wednesday for our Stony Creek students here. And I was blessed to be able to attend the mission trip to Puerto Rico with them. This was my fifth mission trip. I've been on three as a student and two as an adult leader, this being my second one. I initially decided to attend this trip because I've always enjoyed watching our students serve with a servant's heart and serving alongside them. Aside from that, I had some personal reasons for going as well. If you didn't know who I was before I got up here, there's a pretty good chance you know my mom, Lana. As people who know her know, she was adopted from Colombia when she was 10. And because I was raised in the States, I'm not really in that Hispanic culture very often. So I thought that Ken picking this location was a sign from God that I should take this opportunity. And long story short, I'm really glad I did. Leading up to this trip, I was filled with a lot of doubt. The enemy was really trying to get in my head about going. As we got closer to the day that we were leaving, I was filled with doubt about myself and my role within the youth ministry. I ended up praying about it, and I got some encouragement from my boyfriend, just telling me to follow through with the trip. And then throughout the week on the trip, I watched students serve with joy and love. Whether it was organizing or sorting through food, like you saw in the video, or taking out all that garbage with some disgusting liquids that were coming out of it, or just singing worship like five times because that's what the pastor wanted us to do the first day. The students were always willing to do whatever job they were tasked with without asking why. And on the last night, we had the chance to give one another affirmations for what we may have saw them doing throughout the week that we wanted to shout out in front of everyone. And then after we left the floor open for you to be able to go up to anyone, we extended their lights out time. They were very happy to be able to go up to one another and encourage them personally if they weren't able to share in front of the group. At that time, I had a few students come up to me and encourage me for what I am doing in the ministry. And I had two express the impact I've had on their lives directly that I didn't even realize. This mission trip gave me many new experiences that showed me that God has put me exactly where I'm supposed to be. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. I should say, I concur. I believe God has definitely placed Maria in the right spot. She's a blessing to our middle school girls, specifically on Wednesday night. It was great to have her on this high school trip as well. We've got one more testimony coming here in just a moment. Before I do that, I do want to just close out this passage of Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, last few verses, Paul says this, "At this moment, I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus." Help me out. Oh, I didn't put this in yellow print, so you don't have to help me out. I'll just say this next sentence. "They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God." It's great. "And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Yeah, I just find that phrase that you guys ended up reading anyway, that's awesome. Paul draws from the language. He's talking about this gift that the people gave him, but he draws from the language from Leviticus chapter 1 of the worship given to God Almighty. It was a sweet aroma, acceptable, holy, and pleasing to him. Our worship, our sacrifice, is what God is desiring. You know, worship that doesn't cost us something is simply just going through the motions. When we worship God, when we sacrifice for our time of worship, that's when God is truly blessed. You know, honestly, gathering on a Sunday morning, it would be so much easier to sleep in. I know I want to once in a while. But our sacrifice of saying, no, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get to church and gather with my brothers and sisters, even that small sacrifice is an act of worship to God. I want to bring up our last testimony here, who's going to end up talking a little bit about worship together, but Eli Blum. Let's welcome Eli.
Hey guys, I'm Eli. I was extremely blessed to go on this mission trip, and I got two quick stories to share with you guys. So, the first story, you know, one night we were playing wiffle ball, and so we had found this bat, and then we were just using cans because we didn't have any balls. So we were just using a can. It was so fun. And then out of nowhere, this boy from across the street in the neighborhood, he came over and he tossed over a wiffle ball, and then he went back to his house and he got another one, and we're like, do you want to come play with us? And he's like, sure. So he came over, he spoke almost no English, and it was so cool because then across the next couple of days, he kept coming over, he brought a football, he would come play with us, he'd come like jump on my back and stuff. So cool, just great to meet him. And then he would join us for our nightly devotions, and so, he would join us for our nightly devotions, and we were actually, our leaders were able to pray over him, and it was super cool. Like, he would come pray with me, he would worship with us, amazing. And it really just spoke to how we were able to work, God was able to work through us and minister to this boy. So, oh, I gotta scroll down, sorry guys. the other biggest portion of this trip for me was our times of worship. We would meet in this big, colorful pavilion, and a couple from our group would play guitar and sing and lead us. It was amazing, and you know, there was no like dimming of lights, there was no like production, but I felt God probably the most I've ever felt in worship in those moments. I was able to make connections with so many new people during those times and have like moments of just feeling God's presence. It was amazing. And yeah, it was so cool. Overall, this trip, you know, like it was super memorable. I grew closer to so many people and with God. I had experiences that will stay with me for a lifetime. Like whether we were painting a fence or praising the Lord, everything was great. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, all the leaders that made it possible, and thank you, God.
Good job. Thank you. That's great. We're gonna close with a song in just a moment, but before we do that, I got one more point to give you on your outline to write down. With all of that time, you can simply write down, the secret of satisfaction is to seek out God's glory. With everything we do, when it's for God's glory, we take our eyes off of our own comforts, our own insecurities, our own anxieties, our own frustrations, and difficulties that we might be facing at the moment. When we take our eyes off of those things and we put them on God's glory, that's when we can see the Lord doing everything through us, and He becomes our strength when it's to give Him the glory. Paul closes his letter with this sentence in verse 20. He says, now all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen.